yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, February the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's normally an open mic Friday, but not today, because I am completing 3 days of talking about the evils of evolution, begun on Insight Wednesday, Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz, and to finish it up today. If you've been listening, you have heard that evolution became very, very important, not because Charles Darwin invented it. There were evolutionary thoughts way before Charles Darwin, but he came up with a process that seemed to make sense to a lot of people, and that was natural selection. You see, children of parents are a little different than the parents, different attributes. And his understanding was that in the environment, the better attributes end up having better children. And so that's how he considered, through natural selection, that you would come to a lot more, shall we say, complex organisms, like human beings. What we did yesterday was showed that the second law of thermodynamics contradicts Darwin's understanding. And the second law of thermodynamics, a scientific law, is one that suggests, guess what? Things get worse rather than better over a period of time. I mean, who is driving the same car they were driving maybe 40 years ago? Hardly anybody. Why? Because things start falling apart. In 1981... one of the leading physicists and cosmologists, Sir Fred Hoyle, gave the number of 10 to the 40,000 zeros. That's 40,000 zeros. This is way beyond probability, or it's just impossible, for estimating the information content of man and the higher mammals. He said the chance of organisms of such information content emerging through the evolutionary processes during the relative short time of our universe's existence was comparable with the chance that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard might assemble a Boeing 747 from the materials therein. Yogit Singh had a very simple thought experiment. He said, let's just take Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, O mistress mine, where are you roaming? How long would it take a machine to come up with that sentence? 300 million times the age of the cosmos it would take to run that possibility. What's happened is Darwinism is becoming finished, particularly because of the DNA code. They have discovered that the complexity of a DNA code is so complex that there isn't enough time that the Earth is in existence for that to have happened. And so you actually have evolutionists who are teaching that aliens from other planets came and took care of what we consider to be evolutionary thought. Now, science is really helping us a lot, as medicine is helping us a lot in the pro-life movement. I mean, who today can say that a baby in the womb is not a human being? Whereas not that long ago, some people thought it was part of the evolutionary scheme. But also in the area of science, evolution is shown to be voodoo. Thanks to improved science, it is seeming to be more voodoo. In fact, many scientists are saying that there is no way that this came about without someone creating it. We have a lot of teenagers who have bought into evolution. And one may wonder, why have they bought into evolution? Why have they escaped into mush? You need to take a look at the, well, atheistic leaders of former times, like Nietzsche, Sartre, Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. They were all delighted to find in Darwin's Origin of Species what they considered to be a scientific excuse for their atheism. Now, this is a really important point to do. We are not fighting for creationism so people will believe in Jesus Christ. Because science never can get you to the proper God. In fact, John Henry Newman, he admitted the intellectual force of the arguments for God's existence. They're just overwhelming, he said. But listen to his conclusion. These do not warm me or enlighten me. They do not take away the winter of my desolations. The sight of the world is nothing else than the prophet's scroll, full of lamentations and mourning and woe. What he is discovering is that the world as we know it is absolutely beyond human solution. That's something I heard quite a bit in the last couple of days with the horrible killings of the school personnel in Florida. People can't figure out, what are we going to do to stop this? Put armed guards on every floor in every room? Like they do, kind of like at airports. What are we going to be able to do? I think there are some things that can be done. I think an 800 number should be provided to all the students where anonymously they can report what they think people are saying that could be dangerous to the school. I think that would be a great first step. But then the FBI or some organization better do its job and check out these individuals. The fact is, here's how people regard God, many of them today. They say, if there is a God, then he either doesn't know how to take care of the world, or he doesn't exist. This problem of evil in the world is nothing new today. It's found in the Bible. Martin Luther saw that common sense is up against the radical dilemma. Here's what he wrote. Either that there is no God or that God is unjust. For look at the prosperity the wicked enjoy and the adversity the good endure. And note how both Proverbs and that parent of Proverbs experience testify that the bigger the scoundrel, the greater his luck. This is what's moving people not to believe in the true God. The early scholars who were trying to prove God kind of made a mistake. They wanted nature to show not only that God exists, but also from a human point of view, he is good and kind. And this linking of the two quite different questions proved faithful. There's just no doubt about it. The fact of the matter is that when you look at experience, it's really hard to find a good and kind God. I mean, how many people have fallen from the faith because of experiences they have had and things just haven't worked out the way they would hope they would work out? You see, the God that atheists don't believe in is also a God I don't believe in. Some weeks ago, I talked about my conversation with an atheist, and I said, okay, what is there about my God that you don't appreciate? And then when he went to describe what he thought I believed, I was able to look at him and say, I don't believe in that God either. It was really quite an eye-opener to me that atheists and I agree that the God that they are thinking about really doesn't exist. You see, the idea that there can be some sort of God out there and that he loves us and we can figure that out from our experience, that's been falsified again and again and again. There's only one way in which to help people understand that God loves you, and that's to speak about Jesus Christ. Only when philosophy pretends to be theology does trouble begin. For then it makes of itself more than it can possibly be. We as pastors and the church need to do a much better job in showing the ridiculousness of the evolution theory. And why? Because one of the reasons people love evolution is that it takes away morality. Nobody wants to be under a moral system with which they don't agree. In fact, I was watching a detective story, and one of the detectives got engaged to another detective. And her friend said, "Well, why aren't you living together yet if you're already engaged?" This is the kind of thinking that's going on. The trouble with people, they have generally become accustomed to what we would say, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it. In fact, we see this when we take a look at the various world's religions. The Eastern religions, at their best, do not claim to be divine revelations at all. They present themselves as the accumulated wisdom of great teachers. But the fact of the matter is, Christianity is totally different than these other religions, because it teaches about a God who so loved you that he became a human being in order to take away the curse of the law. Christianity, and I mentioned this a couple of times, has a different view of human beings than a lot of these religions do. They have the idea that human beings are basically good, and therefore, when something happens that's bad, like the shooting in Florida, it must be mental disease. We don't necessarily agree with that. As the doctor in the movie The Alien said, "I believe we all possess the raw material required to do horrible acts. We just need the right or wrong combination of events to make the raw material combustible." And we're seeing that with road rage. People who are normally very nice, boy, if they get cut off, just go to YouTube and type in road rage, and you'll see example after example of people who lose their tempers. And they're losing their tempers. Why? Because by nature, man is evil. The only thing that can really change a person is Christianity. Nothing else does. So, how do we bring evolution into the classroom? It can be done particularly in Bible studies and also in confirmation, particularly with the youth, to show them the ridiculous nonsense that evolution teaches. It goes against science all over the place. It goes against Christianity and its teaching. The fact of the matter is newer evolutionists are trying to make up for the failure of evolution by talking about aliens from other planets. Or there's a kind of a third world witchcraft that is going on. Talking about the God within us. In other words, anybody who says, I worship the God within me, is simply saying, I worship myself. Because it feels good. Christianity is so different. Because, as Martin Luther pointed out in the Heidelberg Disputation, only he who comprehends the visible and manifest things of God seen through suffering and the cross is the real theologian. The fact of the matter is, this is the theology of the cross we've talked a lot about here on Law and Gospel. The opposite is its theology of glory. The theology of glory attempts to trap and domesticate God, but is really only talking to itself. The idea that Darwin was correct, and there is no intellectual necessity for the existence of God, this really, behind it, is a way in which those who don't want a moral order comes about. Well, what's moral for you? Whatever you feel. And therefore, there are no grounds for saying, well, you should not steal, you shall not commit murder, you shall not do this. In fact, if you listen to these detective stories and somebody commits murder, how many times do they say, I really had no choice? It comes about again and again. Well, what they're saying, I am so captivated by my old Adam from a theological point of view, but they don't realize that. We Christians don't believe that God loves us because of statistics or all the good fortune that occurs in our lives. Nor is the conviction that God loves us at all a mushy optimism about life in general. Instead, true Christian faith that God loves us rests squarely on specific words and promises anchored in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I've already mentioned, John Henry Newman, he says, even if I would believe that there is a God, and there must be, because there's just no way these things couldn't have happened without a creator doing them, it still doesn't help me want to believe in him as a good God because of all the terrible things that are happening in the world. How many Jews today don't believe in God because of the Holocaust? And then how many times do pastors meet members of the congregation that stop coming to church because something evil happened in their life and they blame God for it? You know, God has a totally different understanding of the world. If we were still in the Garden of Eden, then I could understand that the Garden of Eden would show a loving God. But our experience does not. And that's the big difference between the theologian of the cross and the theologian of self-glory. The theologian of self-glory looks at his experience to make a decision as to whether there is a God and whether he is good. And in our day of age, I was just listening because of the murders at the high school in Florida. There are some who are saying, well, it's because there are too many guns. But many more people had guns years ago, and you didn't have these situations. There was a policeman they interviewed today on the news who I think really hit it on the head. He said, it's not an object called a gun that's causing the problem. It's an attitude that is in this world brought about by secularism, atheism. If I was an atheist, I would do whatever I wanted to do. If there is no God, You can't fear God if he doesn't exist. So I believe that atheism is actually a way in which the human being is doing a self-defense mechanism, saying, I'm not really that bad. I'm still trying to remember somebody who did a crime and was arrested for it, who said, yep, I was wrong. I should never have done that. No, they always have an excuse why what they did was appropriate. And it fits into the evolutionary mode, but it certainly doesn't fit into Christianity. So what do we do as a church? I believe that we use proper science in our classrooms to show the ridiculous notions of evolution. It just goes against not only the second law of thermodynamics, but things like DNA show that the Earth hasn't been around long enough for DNA to have evolved. And we use, like in the pro-life movement, where we use medical people to show that that is really a human being in the womb from conception on. Yes, we put people in jail for destroying eagles' eggs, but we don't think anything about a woman murdering her child in the womb. And then people wonder, well, why are we having so many problems in the schools? If you're raised on evolution, that's like saying you're raised on whatever you want to believe is correct is correct. There are no morals, because nobody's going to tell me. For you to look at someone and say, you know, you really shouldn't beat that person up, they'll look at you and say, well, that's like telling me that I shouldn't eat chocolate ice cream because you don't like it. If I like it, I'm going to eat it. Everything, therefore, and we mentioned this before, is relative. Relative to what I believe. That's the danger of evolution. Yes, Charles Darwin, he captivated a lot of hearts who want to believe in evolution for one very simple reason. They don't want to fear God. And so if they take God out of the equation, there is no necessity for trusting in a God. You can do whatever you want. And the church has to come out a lot stronger. For example, as Jesus said to Peter when he said, don't worry, I'll protect you when you go to Jerusalem. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because evolution, as it is taught in schools today, is really a teaching of none other than Satan himself, trying to get you to say, well, there really isn't a necessity for God since evolution does everything. And therefore, any leanings toward evolution are always a contradiction of God's holy word. And that's why I believe a lot of students are leaving the church, because they're being taught a philosophy that the church is not really speaking to. And we need to be speaking more to it. I've done this in confirmation classes, and it does work. It doesn't prove Jesus Christ is the true God, but it does prove that there is a God who created the world, and therefore there is a foundation for morality. And that's when you go to the Bible and speak law and gospel and let the Holy Spirit do the work of creating faith. Creating faith in an individual who now realizes the ridiculous nature of evolution. I'm Tom Baker. Insight Wednesday, Rumination Thursday, and today Open Mic Friday, where we didn't have an open mic. We've done 3 days now on this. By the way, much of the material I got is from a book called The Saving Truth. It is edited by Ken Sherb about Kurt Marquardt. Excellent book. God bless.
On Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1000.